inevitably they come and think that people have left them. And some may have, but the vast majority are still there waiting for you to come back. They didn't leave you, you left them. So connect to those people who can help you do something that's more in line with what you want, your values.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to the How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs podcast.
I wanted to start out by reading a really powerful statement by one of my mentors, Gabor Mate, who has been a physician for over 40 years, and he specializes in trauma and addiction. Addiction is a complex psychological, emotional, physiological, neurobiological, social, and spiritual process. It manifests through any behavior in which a person finds temporary relief or pleasure and therefore craves, but that in the long term causes them or others negative consequences, and yet the person refuses or is unable to give it up. Accordingly, the three main hallmarks of addiction are short-term relief or pleasure and therefore craving, long-term suffering for oneself or others, and an inability to stop. Absolutely love that. What a great definition. Greg, yes. I know that you have worked with a number of people who have addiction issues and you've had quite some success. What causes addiction and how does someone heal it?
Yeah, so I think the viewpoint that most people have that are in this world feel that it is a number of things. And three things that I would boil it down to are stress, emotional pain, and thirdly, social disconnection. So stress, obviously, you know, we're constantly more and more stressed, whether it be in our jobs, in our lives, in our hectic pace, social disconnection. Emotional pain is the trauma that we have experienced or are experiencing, or just dissatisfaction. And then the social disconnection, we're more and more disconnected as a society. It used to be, you know, 500 years ago, you had to be connected to survive. Now you can order your groceries from Amazon, right? You can literally disconnect from everyone and everything except for this perceived connection, which is social media, which here we are.
People work from home. They can order from home. They can exercise from home. You're right. And is that why we're seeing addiction rates and obesity rates just steadily climb?
I mean, we're going in the wrong direction.
Before we jump to the solution, of those three, Greg, do you normally see one of those standing out as kind of the front runner for addiction?
I think it's emotional pain for the clients that I've seen, the people that I see it in. It's an emotional pain about feeling, and it goes back every single time. There's two things that come up when I'm dealing with a client that's dealing with an addiction, and it is, number one, they always say, well, my life is more fun with this, with alcohol or drugs, or sex is more fun, or whatever. I always ask the same question, is that true? And at first they try to defend it, and then they say, well, no, it's not true. They know immediately, right? So we know from RTT that it's just obvious to the subconscious mind when something is not useful to hold on to. Or secondly, and underlying all that is the same thing. It's one of those three core issues. And that is, I'm afraid that I'm not going to be good enough, or just plainly, I'm not good enough. Yeah. And I'm always, I get chills. Like just now I get chills because that's not true. And it doesn't have to be true.
So people's entire lives, and mine was affected to it to some degree too. For 47 years, I felt that wasn't enough. But so many people's lives are destroyed by this notion of I'm not enough. And where did that notion of I'm not enough come from? It came as a coping mechanism to some stress or some trauma that they endure as children, right? And so they feel, and they still to this day, whether they're 26 or 66, if they haven't done the work, they still feel or live this lie, this untruth that I'm not enough. And that creates a feeling of emptiness, right? And when you're empty, what do? You've got to get more of something. You got to fill yourself up, whether it's with sex, drugs, alcohol, women, the list goes on and on, gambling, food, shopping, and it doesn't have to be that way, right?
No, and what you just said is, if you don't think you're enough, you can't get enough, right? I mean, that's, Marissa says that, and I thought that was brilliant, but another quote that I love from Dr. Mate's most recent book is Dr. Felitti. From, I believe he's from San Diego, and he's a trauma researcher. He said, it's hard to get enough of something that almost works. And I love that because It's true. And in the definition that you just read from unaddiction, that's exactly what that's saying. It's, I'm going to do this over and over. I'm going to crave it again and again because it makes me feel good in the moment. But long term, I have to do it again. And maybe next time it'll work, but it never does. It's pleasure versus happiness or joy. So right. Happiness and joy are contentment where you are, I've got it. I'm good. I don't need more. Whereas pleasure, I need it again. Oh, I need it again. Right. And that's what an addiction does. The inability to stop doing it in spite of the fact that it has negative consequences that you either see or you just know is the situation, right?
So someone's out there right now watching this and their spouse has told them they have a problem. They're unsure. How can someone know if they have an addiction to something, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, can you stop? And is it causing negative effects? Be honest. So you really have to sit back. And I talk to clients all the time about this. I say, so first, where do you want to go in your life? And then secondly, what do you value? What are you committed to? So look at what you're spending your money on and what you're spending your time on. And that's a commitment. That's what you value. And when people do that, they're like, what? Oh, I'm committed to Netflix then, aren't I? Or what I value most in my life is alcohol or drugs. That's a real eye opener. And you know, when you see that, you can then take steps to change it. And one of the most important things is, what are the pictures that you make in your mind and the words that you say to yourself around this subject? You have to flip those. Flip them to something that is not negative. So what the current world does is say, you can't ever drink again because you're an alcoholic. You have this issue. But what I would say instead is, I'm choosing to drink something different or to act in a different way because, and attach something very important to that. Whatever that is for you, if it's your kids, your job, yourself, and that's a good one. You got to put yourself in there, right?
You just kind of started this great segue into this. So someone is addicted, mm-hmm. Whether it's alcohol or drugs or food or whatever the vice is, what can they do starting today? And then we're going to transition into, you have a lot of experience in this area. What are the AAs of the world and the addiction treatment centers missing out on when it comes to fixing addictions in people? Or healing addictions?
Your first question is the first step, right? So the first step is connect with other people. You have to disconnect from the people that you're currently doing this thing with. And that doesn't necessarily mean forever, but it's for right now. You just need to step away from that setting. But one thing I like to tell people is this. Inevitably, they come and think that people have left them. And some may have. But the vast majority are still there waiting for you to come back. Wow, that just feels good to me, right? They're still there. They didn't leave you. You left them. And you will be disappointed by a few people, but the vast majority will be there for you. So connect to those people who can help you do something that's more in line with what you want your values to. And then secondly, yeah, it's about connection and it's about changing those pictures, saying something that your mind can get behind. So like when we talk about dieting, for example, I mean, the word itself is a negative. So we can easily have a different conversation around choosing differently rather than saying, I can't eat pizza because it's not on my diet. Your mind says, oh, screw that. I'm going to eat a whole one just to show you, right? But when I say I'm choosing to have a salad because I know that it makes me feel better, it helps me reach my goals. Your mind says, oh, we're choosing this. Okay, we'll do it.
Right.
It just comes along. So it's a little bit of a game that we're playing. We're totally, and Marissa's book, Tell Yourself a Better Lie, is a great title. I love it because it's true. Like I said, I think yesterday, none of your beliefs are true. Some of them are good. So hold on to those. But the ones that aren't serving you, change them. Tell yourself something else until you actually believe it.
Right. Because the only true thing you control in this world is your thinking, right? And from your thinking, it creates your behaviors and your actions and all your patterns and all your negatives. So all we have to do is change people's thinking, right? People have to change their thinking. And you and I have been certified in RTT, which stands for Rapid Transformational Therapy. And it's an actual proven way of healing people, right? It's not the 20 years of talk therapy. And what do? We go back to the pain. We go back to the source. It's the same thing whether you have physical pain or emotional pain. The only way you can fix it, you don't fix it with drugs. You fix it with going back to the source of the pain. Everyone I've ever met, their source of pain comes from when their brain was developed somewhere between the ages of 4 and 10. Now they're living with this terrible pain. All this behavior that they're doing, whether it's a shitty marriage or they're overweight or they're drinking too much or they're smoking too much pot, they don't know what's driving them because it's all subconscious decisions. For 47 years, I did that, right? I had no idea why my behavior was, why I had 2 failed marriages, why I'd lost $9 million in 5 business mistakes, because my subconscious was driving me from when I was a 6-year-old. So what do? We go back and we find those incidences, or as Marissa calls them, the scenes. They were really influential in creating the story. Because as Gabor Mate says, the actual thing that happened to you that was bad as a child isn't the trauma. That's a traumatic event. The trauma is the story that you wrap around that traumatic event that you live with for the rest of your life if you don't do the work.
Yeah. And then that turns us into a victim. And so the current thinking around addiction is keeping you stuck in psychology.
Yep.
In that, well, I have this thing. I'm predisposed to it. I'm just going to have to struggle with it for the rest of my life. Well, who wants to start a program that tells you that? I mean, I can go to the gym if I want to do that.
Yeah.
And the truth is, it is not necessarily a struggle. Anybody who goes to the gym, and I'm joking, obviously, but you know that it's only hard in the beginning. It's a process. It can even be fun. So it's just the pictures again, and the words that you say to yourself that make that true.
So Greg, you and I have talked about this offline. We're not here to knock AA at all. We think it's a great organization, but we also think, like all great organizations, there's a better way. We can improve things, right? What is the success rate that you know to be true with AA? And what are they missing out? And what are all these other addiction treatment places missing out?
So you went there? I have no real experience with AA. I'm not part of the program, but I have gone to some meetings with a client of mine. And I had gone a few times before to support some other people. And also for myself, I went to a meeting once and it just never resonated with me. And more recently, I know why. And it's because of that victimology. It's because when you go there and you have to stand up, even if you've been sober for 25 years, you stand up and say, hey, my name is Joe and I'm an alcoholic. I haven't had a drink for 25 years. And the only place that I feel connection is in this place. I'm like, what? None of those things are true. I mean, you haven't had a drink for 25 years and you really can't connect outside of here. That's a limiting belief. And then another guy stands up and says, I just started a new job and this is the way things work for me. Things start going really well and then I destroy it. I blow it up. There you go. That's going to happen again because that's your belief. So what is it that makes you want to destroy your life is the key, right? The problem there is stick with that victim mentality. And then it gets worse. The worst part comes in, and I've heard it multiple times, that either you don't feel like you can go there after you fall off the wagon. So you feel ostracized. And I heard these words come out of somebody's mouth. There were many times after I had a slip up that I felt ostracized when I returned. Really? That's not helpful. So if I've heard that from several people, then there are hundreds, if not thousands, who feel that way. The barrier to entry into that program is based on the fact that it sounds very difficult and it places this strange like success on complete and total abstinence. And then if you mess up or make a mistake, you have to start over at day one again. Most people don't want to start back over at day one. They just give up. And so AA's own published data, as far as I can tell, is at 1 year, 26% success. I've heard other things. When you look longer down the road, it's way lower than that. They've had 90 years to work this thing out, and it's only getting worse. So why are we sticking with something that was developed 90 years ago? We don't do heart surgery the way we did 90 years ago.
Great point. Yeah.
Because we didn't do heart surgery 90 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? So nothing else in medicine stays the same. And what we've really turned to because of the state of our medical system, and this is another conversation, is just treating the symptoms with drugs. So you can take a drug that's going to keep you from drinking, but that has a lot of appeal to people because it's easy, but it doesn't necessarily work.
Right. And there's a lot of people, the 20 or the 15% that are successful, right? They're successful at stopping drinking. That doesn't mean that they don't live in pain every day. I personally know people that are family members that have gone through AA, that have stopped drinking, but their life is a complete mess because they still believe they haven't changed any of their thinking. Yes, they got rid of the drinking part of it, but what they didn't do is they didn't go back to the source of the pain to heal the pain and change their thinking. And that's what shifts everything in a human being.
Absolutely. And that is inquiry. You can find out based on whether it's RTT or some other form of inquiry that really helps you to see things. But Brad, I have a question for you, and I apologize if you already said this, but now look back and say there was an issue with alcohol. How did you end up stopping?
No, so I never had an issue with alcohol. Okay. If I had an issue with anything, it was with marijuana. There was a period of a couple of years where at night before I went to sleep, I would use it, the excuse and the untruth that it helped me sleep, which is a complete lie because it destroys your REM sleep. So I was just able to quit it. When I went through my transformation 20 months ago, I went from an intensive, and then 2 weeks later, I went to this thing called Brain Camp, where they gave you high volumes of good gut bacteria. And they said to me, if you go and start drinking again, you're going to kill your good gut bacteria. Well, most people don't know this, but you cannot have good neural health without good gut bacteria. So I'm like, well, I just spent a fortune to get my son and myself relief. I'm not going to start drinking, at least for a couple months. And then a couple months into it, when I started to do all the activities that I used to never be able to do without drinking, sporting events, weddings, the boat, playing in golf tournaments. And I'm like, wait. My whole life, I looked at people who didn't drink and was like, they're idiots. Why aren't they drinking? They're missing out on less fun. Yeah. I've realized that it's just an untruth that all of those events are more fun because alcohol makes you lose connection, among other things.
So that's perfect. And I apologize for not fully trying, but thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
But that's what you did. I mean, you changed the pictures.
Absolutely.
You attached some positive thing, or in this case, it was, I should spend a ton of money. And that's motivation to make myself feel better. I'm not going to screw this up. Right.
The real reason, Greg, I've been able to stay off of it is because I did exactly what you and I have talked about. I went back to the source of my pain as a child, figured out those untruths and rewrote my story in my brain.
So we're talking today about the beginning is you have to find some barrier to doing that thing again, whether it's removing the ease of it. And in my case, I say that I ran out of drugs on purpose. So I left where I was and went on an Eat, Pray, Love, and that created a barrier for me to get a hold of anything, right? And in a very short period of time, it was less than 2 weeks, I was like a different person. I mean, my sister swears that it was a miracle. And I say, of course it's a miracle. Everyone deserves a miracle. I mean, miracles happen naturally as expressions of love. I started loving myself.
Me too.
Yeah.
And 99.9% of all the world's problems are from an individual's lack of self-love and self-compassion. And how do you get self-love and self-compassion? You do exactly what we're talking about. You get back to the source of the pain and you rewrite your story. So, Greg, you and I have talked. We think there's a better way. We started a Facebook group. It's called Addiction Answers. I've got a link to it in my link tree, which is at the bottom. If you guys want to go and join, what we're thinking about doing is holding a monthly meeting where the world can join. And instead of talking about the symptoms and how you're a drug addict or an alcoholic, we're going to talk about proven steps that we can take you through to go back to that source of the pain as a child and fix it. Whether it's food, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whatever it is, it's all the same thing. The community will also be a place to create a positive connection with like-minded individuals who are trying to get the same thing out of life.
Yeah.
So again, it's called Addiction Answers. It's a Facebook group we just started. Anyone can join. It's a public group. And if we get traction, we're going to turn this into a monthly and possibly weekly online community where you can come anonymously and non-anonymously talk. You can share your stories. You can get support. We're here to help you because we've been through it and we know there's a better way.
I love that. And I love that you chose that name. We talked about it the other day and I was a little standoffish because of the initials. But in any case, I think it's perfect. A couple of things I want to address just because we've talked about using drugs as far as pharmaceuticals to help move us forward. And I certainly don't want it to come across that we are against. We're not against any kind of pharmaceutical intervention. Certainly that's helpful. It can be very helpful in the beginning. And I wouldn't recommend to anyone stopping drinking or stopping using a drug without the guidance of a medical professional, your physician, or someone else. We're not talking about detox here. We're talking about the time after that, where you have to go out into society and you have to do something else. So this can be very dangerous to suddenly stop drinking alcohol or quitting a benzodiazepine, or it can also be very uncomfortable to quit opioids. We've all seen that in fictionalized or stories, documentaries. It can be, as far as I'm aware, very difficult. And certainly having someone to help you get through that is important. But starting here is to take an inventory, right? To sit down and say, where do I want to go? And then set up that as a goal. And I refer to goals as just road stop on your path to everything that you want, right? So they're not something that you get to and stop. It's just a process that you continue upon. So creating that connection that Brad described to something different to make him want to move in that direction. In my case, too, putting just myself first. And you can do it. Everybody can do it. There's no such thing as an addiction that can't be overcome. It is. They all can be. And you certainly, whoever's watching or listening to this, you can do it and you can start right now. So
thanks, Greg. Yeah, like my shirt says, you don't have to suffer.
If
you're ready to stop suffering, you want to reach out to one of us. All of our contact information is scrolling across the bottom. If you want to join the Facebook group and be a part of that journey, that link is going to be in the bradchandler.com/contact. If you're watching this on as a podcast, please give us a good rating. The more ratings, the more that we can share, the more that we can give back to the community. So I hope this was helpful to you guys. And if there's any comments, questions, or suggestions, you know how to reach us and make it a fantastic day.
Thank you.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.